Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today, we continue in a week focused on a new commitment. And perhaps for many of us, it might be more aptly described as a renewed commitment. But a time to evaluate our commitment level to God, what that looks like, what it would look like to go into this and through this new year with a new commitment. And today we want to talk specifically about a new commitment in obedience. Throughout Scripture, we find God calling His people to return to Him after they've strayed, after they've wandered off, after they've kind of gone off and done their own thing. And generally within that calling back is this idea, this requirement, this statement that coming back will require a renewed commitment to obedience. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, it's one of those times where God says, "But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by His decrees and obey His commands." It's easy, relatively so, to say we're committed to something. We're committed to someone. As long as it fits our needs, as long as it suits our circumstances, as long as, well, it doesn't require too much out of us. But the real test of commitment most of the time comes to following through when we don't want to, when it would be easier not to, when it doesn't really suit what we want, when it requires obedience to someone else. For the most part, as people, we can be pretty self-centered. And that's displayed in a lot of different ways, and it's not always seen as overt selfishness, but sometimes it's simply it's a desire to be our own boss. And not just in a work environment, but in life. To not want anyone to tell us what to do. Talking with a friend a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about an interview early in his life for a job, and was asked if he had a problem with authority. And wanting the job, he sounded like his answer was no. But as we talked, it was more of that. And I kind of joked with him about, well, I don't have a problem with authority as long as I'm it. And it's one thing to joke about that. It's another thing to live like that. And God's desire is that we would look to Him as the authority in all things. To live with a new commitment to obedience to His Word, to His commands, to His instructions, to the ways of life set forth by Jesus as an example for us to live. It seems like every generation, and sometimes multiple times within a generation, it's our desire as people to reinvent the church, to reinvent Christianity, to reinvent the way we relate to God. And the difficulty is that God's the one that defines that. And his request, his command, his instructions for us is that we would come to him as the authority, as the one who sets the rules, that says this is how it happens. This is how it takes place. And to live with a renewed commitment to obedience says that God, even when I don't understand it, I'll obey. I'll do what you say. Even when it's not convenient for me. I grew up being relatively obedient as a child, I think. Not that I always obeyed my parents, not that I always obeyed the instructions. But I wanted to please people, and so obedience was a way of doing that. I've told this story before at different places, but when I turned 16, got my driver's license, I already had a car. My parents said if I wrecked the car, if I was in an accident, that the keys were theirs. And it wasn't long at all that I took a corner too quickly and watching too much Indy 500 or something, and thought I could just slide it around, and it slid around and up over the embankment and into a farm fence. And we tried to get it out, and the local farmer brought his tractor, and it just wasn't going to come out without damaging the car. So we had to call a tow truck. And I went home that night after getting the car retrieved from the ditch, and the first thing I did was simply walk into Mom and Dad's bedroom and lay the keys on their nightstand. And there was that awareness in my life that they were serious. And I really knew even at that time, and more so now, that the seriousness was in wanting me to take driving seriously. So we talked about it in the morning and worked through what had happened, and they gave me my keys back. Believing that I had learned something out of the experience. And I think when we consider God and His desire that we live with a new commitment to obedience, that He wants us to know that His commands are not meant to be burdensome, that His instructions are not meant to harm us, that they're not meant to keep us from enjoying life. They're meant to instruct us and to teach us the lessons that we need to learn. That they're meant for our good. James writes about us gazing into the perfect law which gives freedom. And when we only experience that freedom when we realize that in Christ we have one who has experienced life as we experience it, and yet without sin. And through His Spirit living within us, we have the power within us, not of ourselves, but of God, to overcome the temptations of sin, to learn ahead of time how to avoid the pitfalls of sin, that sin that so easily entangles us. You see, God's desire as we come to Him with a new commitment, as we renew our relationship with Him, as we seek to improve it and to make it better from our side, that we would renew our commitment to obedience. that we would be satisfied with saying, if that's what God's word says, then that's the way I'll live. That we'll reject all of the attempts to rewrite the word of God. Saw a meme on social media yesterday that was talking about what it called, and it's a sarcasm and a satire meme, and so it's not, at least I don't think it's really out there, but it was advertising the world's first editable Bible, the me version. And it had pulled up a verse from Matthew 18, I believe, and they had definitely changed it. Because now it said, ye are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And we know that's not what the Bible says. And we read that and we laugh. And yet how often do we take other verses and change them to suit our need? And say, well, that's not really what God meant. That's not what He would mean today. That was written 2,000 years ago. That was written 3,000 years ago. That was written before Christ. That was written to a different time and generation. And I'm not saying we ignore the context, but I'm saying that God is timeless. And He says His word endures forever. And He calls us to live with a new commitment to obedience. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love never changes. We can be confident because of Your unchanging word that Your love will never fail. God, help us today to live with a new and a renewed commitment to obedience. Whatever that level has been in the past, may we examine it accurately and fully within our own life. We're not busy looking at the obedience of others and judging them, but that we're looking at our own life and saying, God, help me to have this new commitment to obedience, to doing the things that Your word tells us to do, to obeying Your commands, to following Your instructions, to living according to the example of Jesus. Even when it's difficult, even when it's not convenient, even when it goes against the ways of this world, and especially when it goes against the ways of this world. Help us to look at Your word as the source of truth, that our commitment to obedience would not waver based on political correctness or what's popular or what's acceptable in society, but God, also help us to live out with this level of obedience that continues to love people. Sometimes we seek that obedience and we become legalistic in the way we treat others and condemn others even. And yet that in and of itself is not obedient to Your word. Because You tell us to speak truth in love. So Father, may our commitment to obedience change us. May it help us to be more loving people, more kind people. Holding fast to the truth of Your word while sharing with others the good news of Jesus. The news that we can be cleansed of all sin. That whatever disobedience that we've lived with can be taken care of through the blood of Jesus. Father, may we live in such a way that that happens in our life. May we trust Your power to cleanse us. so that our life would show others what it looks like to be fully forgiven, what it looks like to live with joy and contentment in a life of obedience. Father, forgive us for the times where we've grudgingly obeyed, where we've grumbled and complained about having to obey, while we've given those around us a very bad image of what it looks like to be in relationship to you, with you, to live in obedience to you. May we understand just how good it is. Not just how good it is from an aspect of right and wrong, but how good it is for us to live with this new commitment to obedience. God, help us today to love you and to know your love in such a way that we want to obey, and that we consistently consume your word so that we live it, and that our commitment to obedience would be such that we are lifting up Jesus at every opportunity that we have, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.